All right, y'all, it's the Nonsense and Deep Thoughts Podcast.
Wait, come on, hold on a second, hold on.
Give it up for your hosts, Corey and Justin. With producer in the back who does all the work, give it up for Jared.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to another fantastic episode of Nonsense and Deep Thoughts. Justin, how the hell are you, friend?
Fan-fucking-tastic. How you been, bro?
Yeah? Why are you fan-fucking-tastic this week?
Oh, work wasn't terrible. That's why. Like,
that's always a plus, man.
Kill me this weekend. So
that's good, man. Hey, have you noticed that the sports show is doing pretty damn well?
Yes, I did.
I'm excited about that. It's been a brave new venture. Opie, he's always over there in the sports show too. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I had a hell of a week last week. Spent a lot of time at home. You know, good old blood clots in the leg. It's beautiful. But anyway, we're through that week. Back at work today. I got through the day all right. We're good. We're great. And we're here to tonight. And we've got some special guests, man. We've got some special guests.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. So, guys, tonight we are joined by Gary and Hannah of the Eye Opener Society. So these guys, they have a podcast of their own, and their podcast is fantastic because they like to cover a lot of the same kind of topics that we like to cover. So, you know, paranormal, they get into conspiracy theories. They had an episode on serial killers, which, Justin, I don't know if you listened to that one yet or not, but that's up your alley. I figured that'd be like one of the first ones you watched. So with that, I hope you guys will join me in welcoming the Eye Opener Society to the show.
Hey. Love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, see, this is what happens when you got a good producer behind you, you know?
Yeah, man. Dude, I love Jared, man. He does such a great job. That's my wife in chat there, Alexandria. Mm-hmm. She says, oh, hey, nice hoodies. Yeah, where'd we get these from? You know, the Trendy Forbes. Guys, make sure you go follow the Trendy Forbes over on Facebook. Get yourself some nice t-shirts from that place. It's fantastic. Fantastic. So, Gary, Hannah, how are you guys tonight?
Doing fantastic, really. We're happy to be here. It's like, I always say, like, when I started listening to your guys' show, I said, you guys are like my spirit animal of the podcasting world. I said, you really got a little bit of everything going on that we enjoy. And I said, wow, I said, this is the kind of show I like to listen to, because they're like a podcast, but yet they're a variety show and they're all over the place. And I said, this is what I like to model myself after. Yeah. This is really good. But yeah, we're doing great.
You know what's fantastic is I heard in your one episode, I think it was during the serial killer episode, you had mentioned how you guys, you know, played around with the idea of doing a video show, but you don't think that's true podcasting. That's a different type of show. Mm-hmm. And I have been struggling with that thought myself lately. I said to Justin over and over, I'm like, do we even call ourselves a podcast anymore? Like, we're kind of more like a talk show. Like, we do put out what?
We're a vodcast.
A vodcast.
Vlogging.
Like, I mean, a video podcast is a thing nowadays, I guess. But yeah. I mean, like, we still put the audio out.
If you're doing just the audio, and then that's a podcast, and then you got the video show. But this day, like, it's, again, it's all these subgenres that, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, just keep doing what you're doing. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I just said, you know, for us, because we hate doing all the setup with the video and all that. Yeah. I said, you know, podcasting truly is just audio only. Mm-hmm. And she's only one with a face for, you know, video. Me, it's different. Look at the size of these headphones on my head. So that's why I said, hey, you know, just do audio. But, you know, we did come out with a behind videos. The scenes. Yeah. We do have that going on now.
Yes. So, I like doing the video. So we do them every once in a while.
Yeah, so we still It's there.
Well, tell us about that. You just started doing the Behind the Eyes, mm-hmm. right? And this is going to be a new video segment that you guys do. You said you're going to put it out once a month, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah,
once a month, unless like we do like a bonus episode or something. But we decided to do that because we were videotaping some of our shows and putting it on, but we did it so poorly. Like you couldn't even see us. The video portion was so bad. So I took it all down. I said, all right, we'll do something a little bit more professional. And I said, well, what can we do? So we wanted something a little bit more novel. And I said, well, let's do a behind the scenes. This way people get to know us. Because a lot of people don't get to know the actual podcasters themselves. Half the time they're just listening mm-hmm. to the stories that are being told. I said, so let's do something. Because we have personalities beyond the shows, beyond the topics that we have. Because we do a lot of conspiracies, and I know a lot of people, do you believe all the conspiracies? So I figured, hey, we'll do this once a month, and we'll do kind of like a roundup of all the shows we've done. And we have one coming up. We decided, I said, Hannah and I are going to do what's called Statute of the Limitations episode. And we're going to go back to our youth when we done shit that we probably should not have done. And we're going to tell epic stories on it. And I'm just a little bit worried about her because her statute of limitations probably have not really run out yet.
I'm just like so concerned, to be honest. Like I'm kind of like, I got laryngitis. I can't do this.
Yeah, and it's great because neither one of us know what the stories are. We're saving it for the episode, so we're both be shocked. So yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yep, because that's how we work. That's how our
there's a chance she incriminates herself. That's interesting.
Yes, yes, and I can't wait.
No, it's gonna make me look so raunchy, and I'm not that bitch anymore. So
is it gonna be something that you know you're not ready for your mom to hear yet? Or
no, I don't really care. Honest with you, me and my mom were like tight, so there's nothing really my mom doesn't know about me. So.
Yeah, and I thought I've heard all the stories already about you. So
yeah,
it should be fun. Hear something else. Me, I'm just straight up like, wow, dude. But that's right. Us, and that's our show. That's what it is.
So how did it start out? You, I feel like I remember you saying something about you started out with mm-hmm. meditation and correct. Stuff like that, right? Yeah. And then when did you turn it into what it is now and bring Hannah in? What happened with that?
That was, I started out, I had a little side gig going. I was doing meditation coaching. And when I started, I said, well, you know, I should do a podcast because podcast, you know, is a free way to advertise. So I started doing it and I started looking at the analytics and I was like overnight it blew up. I was like, holy crap. Like it's actually going somewhere. 23 countries I'm heard in. So I just started doing the podcast, and during that time, I was also doing a Facebook Live every week, and I just brought Hannah in. Now, for those that don't know, Hannah is my stepdaughter, and I just brought her in one day because I always knew she had a personality, other than being crippling anxiety, which I could feel right now off of her. I brought her in, and we just had such a great show.
We did. It was a good show.
Yeah, and I was just like, Hannah, just be on the show for now on. And I was like, that's just how it was. And so every week she was coming in, we'd record podcasts. And then I think when we moved in here, mm-hmm. I was like, listen, I said, the meditation thing, it's redundant.
It's getting boring.
Yeah. I always wanted to talk about UFOs and the paranormal and conspiracies. There were so many stories out in my head. And I said, all we need to do is rebrand. It's a big chance that you take because, you know, you're going to lose another audience.
And
We really did. But I said, I just feel I want to talk. I really want to get out there and say things. So we just rebranded and we became the Eye Opener Society. And we did it so we can talk about pretty much whatever the hell we wanted to.
Yeah.
Without that fear of being, you know, stuck in a box, basically.
Yeah, that's kind of similar to how Justin and I started out. Remember, Justin, our first talks about a podcast was discussing sports. Yep. We were originally going to start with that. And then we're like, you know what? Let's just do whatever the hell we want. And it's seriously a lot of the same topics you guys talk about. And we did.
We were also in a very weird spot in the world when we started it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's true.
Sports wasn't really relevant at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were pissed off and wanted to be able to vent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, listen, when really we started, when we started, we decided we got to jump in. We don't care if we have the equipment for it or not. We got to start it just so that we don't lose the fire for it. And we literally started in this room here with just a laptop, and we recorded on the voice recorder, you know, with, mm-hmm. you know, two gaming headsets, and that was it. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous just to get started.
I still think the original idea was the right idea, and that's kind of showing right now.
Like the sports?
Our secondary show is kind of kicking our ass right now.
It's all right. I'm happy with it. Yeah. Alex says, so glad you didn't pick sports. Wayne County Imaging, hello. Thank you for joining in tonight. Appreciate it. So I'm gonna go kind of interview style here for a little bit, because I want to know what your favorite episodes are. One, pick your favorite episode, each of you. One for Gary, one for Hannah. Mm-hmm. I want to know. We'll start with whoever you want to start with.
All right.
Me, I got it.
Go for it.
Yeah. I love the serial killer episode. It just made me so giddy, because I am just like weirdly obsessed with like justice. So like I'm like really obsessed with watching like those like Criminal Minds and NCIS and all of those shows. And like, it kind of gives me like a rush. I think I said in the podcast where it just gives me like a huge high just watching like the bad guy's ass get kicked. So that was probably one of my favorite episodes, and just kind of like trying to like dive into like, you know, researching a serial killer and just kind of diving into their mind and seeing like trying to figure out how their mind worked and, you know, why they did what they did. And it was just a good episode for me.
Yeah. Justin,
do you have a favorite?
I am awkwardly fascinated by the Zodiac.
That's right. You said that.
Yes. Oh, stop.
I knew he was going to ask your favorite, and he knows exactly what I'm going to say next.
Yes, I do.
I think it's absolutely crazy to have a favorite serial killer.
It is.
I just don't know. Me and Justin go back and forth on this all the time. We had an episode in our newest season here where we discussed serial killers. But in all the archived stuff from our older days where our audio was trash, we did a 2-episode series on serial killers. And I said the same thing then. I'm like, it's not that it is glorifying, but it is in a sense, like to us, we're not glorifying it. We're discussing it. We're trying to pick the brains and trying to figure out what makes them tick, what makes them do what they do. But at the same time, I feel like when these other psychos see this, they see that these people are, they're remembered forever. You don't remember the people they killed. You remember the people who did the killing.
Yeah.
So I feel like they kind of want to, if they want to leave their own mark, I feel like they're going to try to follow in the footsteps. But yeah, I get where you guys are coming from.
Yeah. At the end of the episode, I think I did a disclaimer. Like, we are not glorifying them in any way. And we are so sorry for all the families and stuff that were affected by the serial killers. I think with the Zodiac, I think the fascination for me is not necessarily even like what he did, or, you know, it's just like the fact that like it was like just like this prolonged thing. And it's not even like a confirmation that they caught the Zodiac still. So it's just like, it's the
arrogance.
Yes, the arrogance.
Yeah, and I also made the point.
Makes that very intriguing.
Yes.
Yeah, I made the point during that podcast too, saying that, you know, sometimes it's that big fuck you to society where people are going around doing this and they're getting away with it, you know? And it's kind of like that anti-hero thought. Like,
oh, I did watch that show.
I did.
Oh, you saw the question?
Did you say in that episode, Gary, that, like, the possibility of multiple serial killers being around right now, today's day and age would be way harder to get away with it.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. We got so much like surveillance and everything now, but yet there's still and all people the DNA. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jared.
It's a matter of time. Yeah.
That's Jared, the majority of them we hear about are like 70s and 80s because the surveillance wasn't there and the technology with the crime scene investigation wasn't there. Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Justin so into a topic before. He says, Jared, is there any way you can find out how many, like what percentage of murders go unsolved in this country every year? Is there a way you could find that statistic for me? Because you say, Justin, that it's got to be harder to get away with nowadays, but I feel like the number of people who actually get away with murder is, it's just too high. I feel like the people that get away with it, it's the percentage has got to be too high.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like they have to. While we wait for him to find that, on to Gary.
Yeah, my
what
favorite.
What's your favorite to talk about?
Yeah, I was kind of tossing this back and forth because I had two of them, but I think the one. Now I'm going to change my mic. So I know.
I know you're going to change around. I knew.
I'm going to change my mic. I got to keep things interesting, but I really like my September 11th one. Mm. Yeah, and the only reason for that is because I said, you know, this is the first time I'm literally just going to put myself out there on a real personal level, and talk about things that I've gone through and suffered through for years after September 11th. And I did that episode. I used to work New York City Emergency Medical Services. And I left just before that whole incident happened. And like all of our other shows, I really do, you know, I change, you know, I'm telling you my side of the story, but then I went right into the conspiracy theory too behind it. So there's really two. I had, you know, friends that were in there, lost lives of people I knew. And but then after all these years of just believing that narrative, one day it just snapped in my head. And I said, this is some bullshit. I got to question something on there. Mm-hmm. That's why I like that episode. It was raw. It went on for a long time. And of course, I got slack from that because some people just don't believe the conspiracies, which are fine. We never tell people to believe a certain conspiracy. Yeah. We always let people know. It's kind of like sitting around the water cooler. It's like, hey, you know, they're talking about this, and then just have a discussion about it. But we never say, listen, you have to believe this or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I could just see what I seen from my eyes and my beliefs, and you give me feedback. But some people get very aggravated over it.
Yeah. And, you know,
it was an inside job.
I think it takes, mm-hmm. I think it takes us being so far removed from what actually happened, you know, now that we're more than 20 years past, I think people are actually starting to question it a little bit more. And the thing that I like about the conspiracy theories, not just in this situation, but in any situation, is you put it out there for people to think about and use their own head, because there's nothing I hate more than the government telling you, this is how it is. This is the truth. This is the only truth. If anybody speaks ill of this or says we're wrong, then we're going to basically cancel them.
Right.
Canada.
Canada too. Yeah.
Oh, Canada.
Wow. So we are actually.
It's slightly. It's okay. So Jared shared, we're slightly below 50%.
Hmm. That seems like too high too, man. That's half the murders.
You would think it'd be a lot easier to solve, but. Jesus,
yeah.
Man.
But hey, listen, don't forget right now. There's a lot of defunding and a lot of, you know, the people working on solving these things.
Yeah.
Either A, there's no funding to help, or B, they just don't give a shit at this point. They're not doing. They're only doing half-assed jobs.
I think there's nothing stupider right now than the defund the police movement.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Is just going to absolutely destroy our society. Look at the cities that it's already started happening in. You got Seattle and Milwaukee and places like that. It's just going insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you look over in California now, you've seen the videos of people busting into stores and taking what they want
disgusting.
And just walking out. You're not allowed to do anything, say anything. Like, come
right.
on.
Yeah,
security guards watch people leave with bags full of shit. Mm-hmm.
Right. There's no enforcement anymore. There's no punishment anymore. And it's encouraged. It's just encouraged. Yeah, go ahead. Go and do it. Go walk out of the store with half the stock. No one's going to stop you. What kind of signal is that giving to people? You know, if you're not being stopped, you're not being prosecuted, you know, and we see it. You know, and our show is never political. That was just one route we never really went into. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, if I mention what I'm going to mention, like this happens more in democratic cities, it becomes an argument. And I say, you know, regardless of what I feel Republican, Democrat wise, statistically, this is happening in bigger cities, and these bigger cities just tend to be more democratic cities. So, you know, there's a correlation somewhere, you know, that's not so much a conspiracy, really.
Yeah, and going the way of politics in an episode when you're a variety show, it's it's definitely a tough thing. It can it can push people away. It could turn people off. I mean, in the same breath, it could turn people onto your show. It's it's a real gamble with what we're doing.
It is.
Good thing I don't care about pissing people off.
Me.
Yeah. Listen, we're the same way. The only reason I really haven't gone so political, I think it's just right now it's saturated with so many different political shows, no matter what side you're on. So to try and come up with something better, but I do have an idea. And I really think if we go down the political route soon, and I'm going to throw the conspiracy in with it, because I mean, listen, most of the conspiracies all, you know, revolve around the government.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to come up with a topic related to government or politics that has to do with conspiracy.
Up in that episode.
So yeah, we'll get fired up because a lot of it. Yeah. I have this thought that's been going on for probably a year now, but it's going to require research. And once I get to that point, yeah, I think we will have like our first political topic, really. It's not like I'm scared to talk about it because really, you know, I think we said it enough. We're just here to talk. That's all. We're just here to have a conversation. You know, it's not to hate on anybody, but, you know, we all live in this society together.
Yeah.
And whatever's going on politically is going to affect every single one of us.
No matter what you do, you're going to piss someone off.
Yeah.
And good thing I don't give a shit about pissing anybody off.
Yeah.
God, Justin, she sounds just like you. That's great. It's, you know, Justin and I have talked about a couple of times too. When we get into the political discussions, we try to say, you know, we try to respect everyone's opinions, and we're not here to, you know, treat you like you're lower than us or like your opinions don't matter or that you're absolutely in the wrong no matter what. We really just kind of feel like everybody needs to relearn how to communicate properly.
Correct.
Like you have to learn how to find a common ground because that's how government's supposed to work. Right. You're supposed to, you know, hear each other's side and come to the middle, to a common ground. You're supposed to, you know, it's how it's supposed to work. Right. But it's not really going in that direction anymore. It's like the two sides are so far apart. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
The internet did. I think the politicians did. Mm-hmm. It becomes so much more blatant now what they're trying to do.
I can't even tell you how many times like people have literally deleted me off of Facebook because I voted for Trump. Like, I'm going to be fucking real. Like, I voted for Trump so hard. I'm voting for him next year. I'll be real. And like, I can't even tell you how many times like people were like, "You're disgusting." And I was like, "All right, call me fucking grimy then." Because
go home to mommy. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the sound, Jared. I had two sounds in mind. I was waiting for you to play them. That's beautiful. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. All I'm going to get to on the politics side of things now is you look at those 4 years under him and the years that we've been under our current leader. And you could really just see the difference. Mm-hmm. I'm just. I'm tired of the identity politics.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of it. Just what are you going to do for me? And the other thing I'm tired of is the fact that these are people who are supposed to be public servants and they're making a career out of this.
Right. Right. Exactly.
We've discussed recently what the solution is. All right, Justin. The politicians from your state should not make more than the median income of your state. Period. They should not be able to get rich off of this
shit. What you provide.
Done. And then term limits for everybody. I don't care what part of politics you're in, what part of the government you're in. Term limits for everybody. It's the only way to keep it.
Because fuck them. That's why.
Exactly.
Precisely.
I'm looking at Justin. Justin, I'm just waiting to see if you have anything to add to that because you've been getting.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for something cool.
Justin's.
I don't want to go political today.
Justin's filter has been removed lately, completely. We tried to reserve the politics
deep last week.
But yeah.
It's been a little. We'd talk a little bit about politics because I did want to see Justin get a little wild up.
But okay, so now I'm going to try to get to this. Ever so important question. I found a question on a friend's Facebook page. They posed a question and I was like, I got to use this. And after all that we've been talking about between serial killers and the government and conspiracy theories, are humans inherently good or evil?
I love that question. And I really got a nice thought. Go ahead. Do you got something you want me?
Go ahead. I gotta spin it in my brain.
Here's the thing, because we're gonna get into my way of thinking when it comes spiritually, metaphysically, and all. I'm really into all that. It helped me, but we as human beings, we don't fall into either category. Just look at when you're born. You're free from all, I don't want to sound too religious, but you're free from all sin. It's a fresh beginning. You don't know right from wrong at that point. So you're inherently good. Evil's taught as you go on. And that's what happens. But inherently, are people good? The thing is, I don't even think humans know exactly what we are, what our purpose is. That's one of these things I've been reading into a lot. Like, exactly what do humans do? What is our purpose here? I had a discussion about this once in a podcast. Human beings aren't even designed for this planet, really. Mm-hmm. Like, when you look at animals and how they are developed for their, you know, environment and all, between, you know, whether it be hoofs, claws, what, we're just not designed for half the shit that we're in. We, you know, we're scared of the sun. How does that happen, you know? But yeah, inherently good or evil, we are always born 100% pure. The evil comes from your environment, and then it's up to you on how you're going to react to that, how you're going to develop from that. And in my belief, in a very spiritual side, it's we're on this pendulum. There's good, there's evil, there's black, there's white, there's masculine, there's feminine. There's two sides to every single thing. We all can't be 100%
gender
pure. Well, I mean, we won't throw in a separate. Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be separate, but this day and age, I don't understand how it comes together as one. But yeah, we go on through life and we start learning different things, but we are inherently pure. But nobody can sit and say we have nothing. I mean, that's why we're going to have statute of limitations episode. We all done something. We all continue to do something. We never know what's going to happen later on down the line. It's more or less lessons. So we have to think of ourselves as both good and evil together. There's just no separation between the two. There's nobody perfect and there's nobody completely evil. So did I help you on that, or you got better?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just like stole my thunder there, but it's all right.
That's why I let you go first.
Yeah, you shouldn't let me go first. He kind of summed it up, but for me, when I look at a person, Tea Leaf Readings in the Valley, she actually kind of took it there. It's the chaotic neutral. I really believe that people, like, everyone's their each yin and yang. You have your good and you have your evil. Some people just show their evil way more, especially nowadays. But I think that all has to do with, you know, your environment, like you said, and just people not being able to comprehend their feelings.
Yeah, I could go one further, because I thought about this too. It's, you could sit and you could be the perfect human being, but at what point do you change? Because you know that comment that everybody says, oh, don't get me mad. You won't want to get me mad. Like, okay, I get it. That's fine. Everybody has that in them. Yeah. You're not saying anything else. You could be the purest person, the kindest person, but we all have the capability to snap, every single one of us. And that's where we get that yin and the yang from. Mm-hmm. We have the capability of doing both. It's just a matter of how you either suppress it or, you know,
balance it,
your problems, or balance it. That's what it's all about. Yeah. I love the question, because you could just talk about it forever. Who said something about self-preservation?
Tea Leaf Readings in the Valley.
Yeah. Hey, Jen, how are you, by the way? Tea Leaf. She was on one of our shows too, as well.
I knew her name was Jen.
Yeah, Jen. Self-preservation. Yeah, it's great. Not good or evil, because sometimes you got to do what you got to do in order to survive. Absolutely.
So, and I'm glad she brought that up, the self-preservation side of it, because my follow-up question was going to be, if society were to collapse, and that changed the entire world, what do you think would happen? Would you see more good? Would you see more evil? Would people come together? Or like in a lot of these TV shows or movies that you see, you know, end of the world, apocalyptic type shit, are you going to see the evil side of humanity come out where people just don't care about others and they take what they need for self-preservation?
I think we're already kind of
we're already there.
Yeah, we are. And in some sense, I feel my personal feeling on that, if it does get to that, we're not going to see a whole lot of any of that, because you got to look at the way the world is. I think there's only a select few that are actually going to be able to survive. I think once society collapses, most people are just going to fade away. They're not going to be able to survive. You're not even going to get a chance to see them robbing, stealing, right? Because they're not going to know how to survive on their own to begin with. That's what I think. And I think some of us have a big advantage if society was to collapse right now. And it's a very select few. And
I'm 100% behind you on that.
Yeah. And I think people like that, it's going to be, you're going to see more good, because there's going to be more people helping out because everybody understands exactly where they stand.
I agree.
Yeah. And I really think that you'll see more good come out of it, because
I will be good, but in the most fucking evil way if someone tries to cross me. Let me just tell you.
See, that's, yeah.
Dude, it really gets me thinking. We've had a few different episodes where we touched on social media, the dangers of it. If you think like me, I think that technology and social media is really going to be the downfall of our society at the end of the day. Because for as much good as you can get from it, I think more bad is coming from it.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I grew up in that generation where social media blew up, you know, and it's miserable.
I think it's more the self-reliance on the, you know, most people now, they're so reliant on all that. If you were to take away all the electronics and all the, you know, AI and everything else, no one's going to know how to live. I learned how to read a map before GPS came out. You know, who can do that? You know,
it's just MapQuest count. Cause like I knew MapQuest.
Sure.
Yeah. As long as you know what a map is. Yeah. But yeah, people become so self-reliant on that technology. So if it does go away, same thing happens. Are we going to survive then? And are we going to see good or evil? Like I said, we're going to see a few people surviving and then a lot of people just not know what to do.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts.
Yeah. And but like I said, I think we're already there. You know, it's starting. It really is starting. People can't live right now without being all about them, the me society right now. That's what's going on, and I think that's what people don't understand. You know, are you gonna, how can you be inherently good if you're just thinking about yourself?
Yeah,
that's, you know,
selflessness is kind of dropping off, which is really shitty.
Yeah, not a lot of people out there caring for others.
Then there's me.
You got your, you know, empathetic ones and all, and then you got me, like a neutral one. Like, I'll help out, but it doesn't affect me. It's like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So, you know, I tried helping out when I was doing the meditation stuff, and a lot of people, like, that's what we were running into, that issue. Is like people want instantaneous results, instant.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And I'm like, listen, it don't work that way.
That's the generation we're in right now, is the generation of instant gratification. And that's, that's something that comes with the social media age and the technology that we have nowadays.
Yeah, because it brings you those results quickly and everybody just relies on that. And I said, it don't work that way. Self-help takes forever. And you're always learning about that. There is no program out there that's just going to fix everything instantly. It doesn't happen.
This is something I'm struggling to teach my kids right now, is because they struggle with trying new things, because if they aren't good at it right away, they think that they're awful and they get very down on themselves. They need that instant gratification.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to push them through that. It's really tough to get hard to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen that. You went through a lot of that, you know, and what, I don't think it was so much technology. It's just, you're in a society that, you know, looks down upon other people, and, you know, social media, which you, with the whole bullying bullshit from back in the day, you know, messed you up. But You know, and then back in my age, it was easier. You know, bullying was, hey, you know, you get bullied in a classroom, but it's either you're going to stand up and fight or you're not. And that's the way it was.
I got to that point, you know, mm-hmm. like when I was like bullied so bad, it was like to the point where I had like these fucking ugly ass, and I mean like ugly personality moms, like creating fake Facebook profiles just to like bully me and like comment on my pictures and like literally call me a slut because I was, no offense, but I'm not trying to sound like a horrible, like cocky person when I say this, but I was like, I was just generally a better person than their own daughters. And it got to the point where I was just so tired of crying all the time that I like, I think this girl just said something behind my back one day and it just snapped and my evil came out and it was red and there went a school suspension, but it was worth it. So
we all have that capability.
Yeah. But like, I look back on it now and I'm like, you know, I could have handled that way better than I did, but I think I got to that certain primitive like aspect of my life where it was just like, it was like a fight mode. Cause I got just so tired of fighting.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we all need that moment. I mean, not only for ourselves, but for the people that are putting us into those positions.
And I got just so tired of like the social media bullshit. I was like, you're not going to sit there and tell me behind a screen, like say it to my fucking face. And when you say it to my face, it's going to go one way or the other for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matthew says people want to skip the journey. No effort. They want results instantly. Exactly.
Happiness is a journey, not a destination. Mm-hmm. That is a heavy quote that I have lived by for the past 10 years of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll definitely feel more rewarded along the journey rather than just getting the results quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like we were discussing beforehand. You know, we've all gamed. We like our video games, and it's like, do you want to spend your money on getting all these rewards, or are you going to feel better if you play through the whole game and earn it all yourself instead of skipping it all?
Right.
And then Jen
says, you're going to go through life in cheat mode.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And Jen's like, it's dangerous. People wanting it right away, not willing to put the time into it. I agree. I think it's dangerous.
I think because it creates selfish people and codependent people versus being independent. I think we're seeing that a lot nowadays too.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
I think there's a big difference in personality and character between the two different types of people there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't see personality really too much anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to see personality in words because nobody knows how to talk anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right.
Social media took that away. Communication. It removed communication. Just reading words on a screen with no context, no emphasis on words or anything. Destroyed really how we communicate with each other. You know, I remember how we used to, you know, back in the day, you used to go to bars and that's how you met people. Mm-hmm. Now, it's on a screen. It destroyed a lot of that communication.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, we wouldn't have met you guys if it wasn't for like on a screen, you know what I mean?
Right.
So there is some positive aspects of it. But the whole just generation that we're in now with like social media, like when is it going to end or when is it going to come to a standpoint where it's like one of those games, like let's just like bring out like Fortnite, you know what I mean? It's just like one of those games where it's like you're hooked on it for a little bit and then you're just like, oh yeah, this just dropped off the face of the earth. I don't think about it anymore. When is it going to get to that point? Because right now it's just, it's ridiculous. I've seen, I'm going around with my almost 2-year-old son and I'm, you know, strolling through the mall and there's like 5-year-olds with iPhones. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
it's insane. And I'm, you know, I'm glad you mentioned it too, because I don't know, man, like, I don't think that this is how we're meant to live, but like, it is good. It's good in the sense, like you said, because, you know, we can do this. We're able to do this. We're able to meet people like you. We're able to share what we do and, you know, our passion and all that. But there's just so much more bad that has come from it. Like, we've had this discussion before, too, is it the way it's ruining communication even for families. You know, think about the holidays. You all already know about what's going on in your family's lives. You get together for a family dinner. What are you going to have to talk about? How are you going to catch up? Go ahead and ruin the day.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh God, Jared in private chat says W Riz is now the word to use. We had an episode discussing something like that too. Remember that, Justin?
W Riz, yeah.
The new language, the new.
I don't
slang.
Get it. Like my husband said that, he's like, "Get Riz," and I was like, "What the fuck is that, bro?" Like I don't know what you're saying.
I had people actually trying to explain to me how it makes sense. I'm like, no, I don't care how you spin it. It doesn't make.
It
sense
It does not
to me.
Make sense.
Yeah. W, you know, winning. Riz is, you know, having game. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, Riz?
What? You're like, oh, I don't get it.
I like, oh my God. What was I going to say now? I missed that. Where are we here? Yeah, I was saying at me in my 20s. I'm sorry, my 50s. I have to sit here and constantly go on like Urban Dictionary and all this, yeah, and try just to keep up with the, yeah, languages. It's no different than trying to keep up with, you know, like modern technology and all, but you literally got to keep redefining the English language.
Yeah. He like literally, we have to go on Urban Dictionary to get woke or whatever it is.
We're butchering it. Like,
we are.
Our society, yeah, is butchering the English language. Good God. Justin and I grew up reading Edgar Allan Poe and like compare it to today. Mm-hmm. Compare his writings to today. How dumbed down our society is right now with this.
Right.
I like what Monica says up there too. It means way more to work hard for what you want. Loving the tough shit in your life makes you appreciate the end result.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Justin, did you have something? I thought I heard you start to speak there.
No. I'm gonna backtrack here.
Okay.
Go for it.
Circle back.
I go back to Gary talking about humans not supposed to be on this planet or. Where when he was,
oh,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a theory on, well, I've heard some shit on that, like, mm-hmm, conspiracy through shit. I don't even know where anymore. But essentially, the theory is that humans were put here to mine gold.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking my language. Go for it. You're talking my language.
Like, here, like, as slaves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To mine gold for whatever else may be out there.
Mm-hmm. Interspecies breeding, and it was definitely for slavery to mine the gold, right? And we're just the products that are left over.
Yep.
And we could go down the Anunnaki, or I don't even know.
Anunnaki.
Anunnaki, that's the one. You know, we could start going down all of that. It's very biblical. I mean,
oh my God.
It seems more realistic sometimes than just reading the Bible and, mm-hmm, you know, on the religious side of things. When we start talking about reptilians and all that, it actually starts to make more sense that way. And I'm totally with you, Justin. Yeah, I really feel we were just designed for just one specific thing, and that's all it was. And we just were left behind, and we're just the product of that. Because yeah, we just don't seem to fit in any place on this world. And that's why we constantly work ourselves. That's why we develop money and all, because it's just going back to our slavery roots. That's what it really is. And, you know, we just work ourselves, and then retire and die, you know? And I think that's what it was way before, like when this earth started and humans as we are now, you know, started to take place.
Justin, we
could get so many episodes out of these guys.
Damn.
I mean, if you want to come on the show one day, Justin, we can sit and talk about all you want.
See, this is the kind of stuff we love. We love doing this.
Yeah.
Like, diving deep into shit like that.
Right. It's fascinating. That's why I just find it so fascinating, because you could hear so many different things. I was just like with the flat earth thing. I've heard so much stuff on flat earth that just I'm sitting there scratching my head. It's like, you know, everybody's saying they're stupid. And I'm like, wait a minute. So many shit's actually making sense. And it's making you change your mind sometimes. I'm just like, wow, this is really interesting. When you really start looking into it, you start saying, wow, you know, they really have a point on this one. And then it changes your whole perspective on everything.
You mean
you
like
this? To question everything.
Like the SpaceX rocket, you know, smashing into the firmament. Exploding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, Justin?
So the earth is round. I cannot buy into any of the flat earth stuff.
Right. Oh, really? I can't either.
To your episode, mm-hmm, Gary, you never answered that question.
I did. At the end.
You answered hollow earth, but that doesn't describe whether the earth is round or flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's round. Yeah, it's round. It's just that it's got an entrance that goes inside because it's hollow on the inside. So there is round in my
that. I like that.
Yeah, I still, you know, like I said, they make great points, and it does. It just makes me question, like, holy shit, it could be right. But I still see the world being round, although every time now I think about it, it's like, damn, it's just, I'm questioning.
Well, can a flat earth be hollow then?
Can a flat earth be hollow?
That'd just be a hole.
Yeah, then you're talking like a donut kind of. I can't see it. I see round earth being more hollow.
I don't think flat earth can be hollow.
No. I don't think so. No.
That's where mind went when you answered that question.
Oh, okay. I believe round. I really do. I firmly believe we're still round. But I just question everything.
Listen, I had Justin going so good. This guy thought that I truly believed the earth was flat during our episode on it.
I think the world is flat.
But this is what I couldn't get across to him. It's exactly what you said. Yes, I believe the earth is round because, you know, I'm not completely crazy. But they make good points from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to read about and to research. It's an interesting topic because I do like to see the arguments. I think it's intriguing. Yeah. I really do. Is.
Yeah, and Alexandria, do we believe the moon landing was real? I absolutely think it is fake.
I believe it was real.
Yeah, I think it was just fake. I just don't think we had that technology. And like I said,
well, the recent one, absolutely not. That shit was a fucking meme.
The Indian one, right?
Yeah,
the Indian one.
Yeah, the Indian one.
Oh my God, Jared, do we still have the overlays, or did we get rid of those?
That was fake. But
we never got to do that.
The technology we have now, and we haven't gone back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is they said that they lost. They lost all the plans for it. They lost all the mathematics. All right. How do you lose it?
How do you lose
that? We have better technology.
Yeah. If it was real, the way we are now as a society, we would have been back and forth. We would have had, like, you know, shuttles going back and forth to the moon by now.
It would have been commercialized.
It would have been. Yeah, absolutely. But we're only just trying to figure that out now. I just don't get it.
The biggest thing for me with that is, how in the world did they have a real-time phone call with the president?
That's if anything, no matter how strong you feel about it, back then, how do we pick up a landline phone and make a call down to the president and say, hey, you know, how you doing from the moon? Too many questions. There's other theories too, like we went up there only to a certain point. We've seen things alien-wise.
That's what I think. That's why I think it's real. I think we went up there and we haven't been back because we were warned.
Warned. Exactly. There was two missions. There was the real one where they actually went on the moon. And then there was the fake side just to give to the general because they didn't want anything getting out. That was another theory that I could probably swallow. But I don't know. I just can't see us getting to another planet.
I just think with the technology we had back then, it would have been super difficult to not only get to the moon, but to land there safely and get back off of it and home.
Yeah.
I mean, today's technology, I feel like we should be able to do it.
Right.
Back then, it's just so difficult to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I lose.
The video was very cheesy. Not as cheesy as the Indian space landing.
They took it to a whole nother level.
That looked like a 1985 computer game.
That literally looked like they took something off the fucking Simpsons and just slapped it on there. We did it. We went it to the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. We can go to the Simpsons, too.
Their predictions. Yeah.
Their predictions, crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's life imitating art. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. I want to go back. I kind of want to go back to what we were talking about with the kids and the phones and all that before. Matt said, dude, I make my kids get the fuck off their phones. I'm a dick. I even make them get off their phones when we drive places. Be bored. Yeah. Learn to be bored. I think the constant being engaged at all times is fucking kids' heads up bad.
Yeah.
They don't know how to entertain themselves. 110%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I'm with that.
Yeah.
My son, he's almost two. He'll be two in January. And he does watch TV. You know, he watches like a lot of learning shows and stuff. But when I tell you, he just like, sometimes he just drops his interest and just goes to his toys. It's great to see. And like Gary can attest to this. He loves to go outside. He doesn't care how fucking cold it is. He's like, go. I want to go. And he goes. He loves to be outside. He loves to just interact with his toys. And that's why he has so many of them, because I'd rather him have an abundance of toys and me have constant anxiety from my OCD being overdriven than my kid just being stuck on an iPad or a phone.
Right.
Yeah. And speaking of kids having phones, have you seen Matt Rife getting into it with a 6-year-old on a phone?
I fucking saw that. Yeah. So his mom was Bunny or whatever. And I think, yeah, I seen it on TikTok. And this guy, so he's got like that persona where like all these girls are like in love with him. Frankly, me, I think he looks like Sid the Sloth. I'm just going to drop it.
I swear to God, my wife said the same
thing.
He's
so funny.
Anyway.
But that was just kind of absurd to me. Like, the kid was like, he's so cute. Like, his like reaction video, he was just like, he's such a little gentleman. He was like, I don't like that you're mean to girls. And he was just like giving him a fact. Like, it kind of is concerning how Matt Rife is what, in his 20s, 30s, he didn't know Saturn had rings and he said another fucking planet. That's kind of concerning. Maybe he needs to put his phone down.
There you go.
Oh my God.
I didn't know anything about any of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm lost. It's, I'm with you there.
It started because a small child had a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my kids didn't have phones. My son just turned 13 mm-hmm. and got his first phone because now he has a reason. We can leave him home alone.
Yeah.
But I want him to have a way to contact us because, you know, mm-hmm. technology, the world is cell scary. Phones. We don't have a landline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
A phone. So he finally got his first one.
Yeah. I think I got my first phone when I was like maybe 12, but like that was back when like minutes were a thing. And you know, like you had to like a certain time, like then your minutes were unlimited or something. But like I mainly had phone because like my mom was like a single mom before she met Gary and like she needed to get contact with us. You know, my sister is older than me, so she had a job. And there was a gap of age there. So like she had to make sure that she was in contact with me. And I think that's how I'll do it for my son, but I don't know. I just don't get the persona yeah. that's going on right now of like, yeah. oh, your kid's a certain age. Here's a fucking iPad. Yeah,
I know how to work a rotary phone. Just
so FYI. Do I. Yeah. So do I.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I need to do a video and see if my kids can figure it out.
That would
I need
be
to make a video of them attempting one.
Yeah, that would
I
be.
I know how to avoid the 20-foot cord.
Yeah.
Our buddy Scoobs in chat says, I hope he got an old razor. You know, I really should have gotten him something like that. The kid's lucky. He ended up with the cheapest smartphone that was there because I wasn't going to get him a super fancy one. But you remember the kind of phones we had to start with, Justin? The Nokia bricks?
I had a Nokia.
Yep, the Nokia brick that looked like an old car phone. Mine was like this big. The antenna pulled out. You had to load minutes onto it. Little digital screen. That was baller.
Hell yeah, man.
Snake.
I miss that.
Corey, what your wife said, she hates how much the kids were on the iPads. Mm-hmm. I feel like to attest to like what I said, I think that sometimes there is nothing wrong with like, you know, like a mom being overstimulated or a parent being overstimulated and just like needing to get things done. And like you need some type of distraction. Mm-hmm. Like for me, my kid is going through terrible too early. I want to eat. If I'm at a restaurant, I want to enjoy my meal. I don't want to have to sit there and end up taking my whole meal in a box home because my kid's just not letting me eat. I will slap a video on YouTube for my kid to watch so I can enjoy food. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. But I think the importance is that like my sister does this. She sets a timer. There's like a screen time setting on an iPad where my niece only gets a certain amount a day. And then once your time's up, it's done. So I feel like if it's regulated, then that's fine. Cause there are like, my niece has so many like learning apps on her iPad, and not saying that, you know, parents shouldn't be teaching their kids versus an iPad, you know, cause it always should be the parents. But sometimes when you're just trying to get stuff done and you have young kids like that, it's hard to balance things. And it's always been that way. You know, I feel for people, you know, a couple years back, we didn't have iPads, you know, that's probably why my mom is crazy. You know, she had to maintain 3 kids.
And now she's got to drive her nuts.
Yeah. Now she got to deal with him.
Which is great because us men, we never truly grow up.
That's true.
When
you really fucking don't.
I always say, man, like if the moment we grow up is the moment we grow old, that's, You yeah, gotta
and you
keep
get your midlife
man.
Crisis cars.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, old man.
Yeah. No.
Not yet.
We don't. I like that. I like being youthful. I like knowing about
he hangs
current
better
trends.
Than me. He does.
Yeah.
He
yeah,
really does.
I do.
He'd be like, "Hey, let's get fucked up," and I'm like, "I'm going to fucking sleep."
Yeah. I could drink her under a table, and she's pretty damn good at it. But I really it, you know, even for like my age, and I really shouldn't be doing half the shit I do. But I just feel, yeah, once I say I'm not doing this anymore, yeah, I grow old. That's it. Going to nursing home. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that. I want to have fun. Exactly. I want to keep doing what I've been doing my entire life.
Yeah.
I don't want to grow up. I really don't.
Exactly. I think it's a good quality. And mm-hmm. I, you know what? Honestly, I think the women in our lives agree with that. Like, they yeah. might complain about it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I think they like the fact that we are still kind of a little childish, try to keep things fun.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. She might try to prove me wrong in there. We'll see. See if my wife pops into chat. But yeah, this earlier this year when our little one was in the NICU and my wife was down there for the 52 days she was, our kids spent a lot of time at the grandparents' house, so they got bored easily. They had their yeah. iPads yeah, and stuff. Yeah. But, and I still said, I'm like, man, just we should have sent them outside at my dad's house, her dad's house, told them to be bored. Because we were always bored when we were kids. That's how we learned what we loved.
I was like, yeah. I was never bored. I was the kid that they had to put a secret tracker on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't do that to you.
Yeah, I was that kid. I was never bored. I went outside and I always found something to do.
Yeah. And I'm like that too. Like I get bored very easily. So I had imaginary friends growing up and all this. You find ways to cope. You yeah. really do. I didn't need electronics or anything for that. Man, I'm admitting too much now.
I know. I'm ready for them to just slap a question at me, and then I'm going to throw up or something. I don't know.
But my wife agreed with me. I was right. I knew
See?
It. She said she
yeah.
likes how I am.
You have to. And that,
I'm going to call baby. My Justin up real fucking quick. Roast him.
Yeah, but I think you're right, though. We do, as men, you know, without sounding, you know, over man, but we have a role. We really do. We have roles, and we don't give up easy, and we shouldn't just say, hey, that's it. You know, age is now in the way and we got to stop. We got to stop being a man. We got to stop doing things we do. Mm-hmm. You know, even me, like even physical challenges shouldn't even be a thing. You know, you just got to keep overcoming. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Yep.
thanks for the input, Justin.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. Yep. good talk. Yeah, we're so waiting for the hard questions.
I know, me
yeah.
too. Well, all right,
we got a hard question for you now, cool. and I know you guys are going to get into this one. I like this one. We're getting up on the hour here, so mm-hmm. I think we rounded out with this one because we used to ask anybody who came on the show this question.
Oh, so this is going to be the last one then.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, perfect.
We did this.
We did do this, man. Definitely. I absolutely mm-hmm. believe yes. in ghosts. I've seen ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
I've had several experiences actually with them. I remember I discussed mm-hmm. that one big one. I think our show, as you know, time goes, especially into the new year, I think because we never really touched too much on the yeah. paranormal. But I really want to get into that because, yeah, there are experiences and I can relate that metaphysically and all. But, yeah, I definitely believe in ghosts. And I got some great ghost stories.
I believe in them, but I've never had a physical – not physical, like a scene. I've never seen a ghost.
Have you?
But I am very – I can feel.
I was going to say, have you felt it?
I've felt a lot. Like we go antiquing sometimes and I can feel very hard. But I also like, I'm very heavy on, I can see like when I had my son, I had a very traumatic birth. I had an emergency C-section. My best friend, who passed away a couple years ago, I was going in and out of consciousness and my heart rate was irregular. And I saw my best friend when I was on the C-section table. I saw him. And that was like the closest thing that I could say that I've seen a ghost, but it was like, I was so in and out of consciousness that, and I've never told this anymore. So I'm just giving it out to you guys right on this show for the first time. It's actually a very special moment to me. He's like, he's good. Like, you're good. You're going to be okay. He's beautiful. Go, Hannah, go. Like, he's good. And that was the second time that he's ever come to me. When he died, the night that he passed away, he came to me. He's like, I'm fine. He has me. I'm good. So that's my, just sling that in there. That's why I believe in God, because I was losing my faith for a while there. But when he came to me then, that kind of set my firm believer on God, for him saying like, he's got me, I'm good, I'm going to be okay. So yeah, but those are my kind of close encounters as far as ghosts.
Man, I just got chills.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I know. And I'm trying not to cry, because this is like very two special moments for me that I've like kept so close to my heart. So I've never physically seen like a ghost that I've like, you know, like you go to like a creepy abandoned house and you see like a creepy little girl in a rocking chair. I've never seen anything like that, but I've had personal experiences. Mm-hmm. So.
And this is how our show goes. Like, I always hear something new coming from her. All the time. And she does. She just lays it out there. I'm like, oh, wow, I have not heard this story either. But yeah, that's actually amazing. Yeah.
I second what Monica said. Thank you for sharing that. That, like, literally, I got chills as you were saying that.
Yeah.
Because all I could think about when you were saying you, before you told your little story, is when you said you can feel it. I was going to ask you if you have that feeling with certain buildings, like if you ever walk into a building and you just get that feeling come over you.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, kind of something I experience a lot. It's just
my mom is the same way. Like, there's certain, like when you like walk past like a dark object, if you're like at an antique store, you get like, you get sweat, like you get so sick because you just feel like such a negative soul that like hasn't moved on yet. So yeah, I definitely get those feelings.
Yeah, I've got buildings that I just do not like going
in. Yeah, like something horrible happened there. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I get it. I really, this is inspiring, because I do. I want to start getting some episodes. Yeah.
Everyone's like, let's go to the Eastern State Pen. I'm like, fuck no.
Oh, that place rocked.
My wife and I went years ago for their Halloween thing. Like,
yes.
They have a haunted house.
Too. Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the scariest part of that is the fact that this is in Philadelphia. And it was so scary. Like, when we go back, is our car going to be there? Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
I would spend the night inside that penitentiary, then, you know, walk around the streets out there.
Oh, my God.
Filthadelphia.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
Yep.
We have a place near me, Utica, Maine.
I dated filth from Philadelphia once. Dodged a bullet.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and there's two different thoughts on the whole ghost thing, because some people, you know, they'll say, like you, they believe in spirits, you know, people who have passed and moved on, and it's an actual person and their thoughts, their energy. But the other thing was, and I think I said this to Justin the other day, is it's a moment in time that's just replaying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ever hear that theory
residual
too?
Residual hauntings.
Time,
yeah.
Yeah. Residual. Frozen. It's mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like just repeating the same thing over and over again. And I think I kind of think I believe in both of them.
Yeah.
I think each one has kind of their moment.
That's intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we were discussing that. I mean, the whole, you know, thing, just, or the, I know thing that started with that. Like, they thought that was a residual kind of haunt that they were dealing with there. So I think it's a cool concept.
The old lady in your old, kid's living room.
Oh yeah. Wow. Yeah. The old house.
Sage.
The girl walking up the steps in my house.
Oh, that one was good. What the fuck was that? That was loud. Maybe I should turn my volume down. Jaren got me really good on that one. Holy shit. Woo. Got a different kind of chill from that. Oh yeah, Lena, my daughter, talking to my mom when she was two. Good Lord, Jared. My headphones are up all the way. Oh. Anyway, Justin, you said this wasn't going to be the last topic. I assume that means you had something for them.
I forgot where I was going.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. No. I remember now. Christmas is coming up. Mm-hmm. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Oh
yeah. I see. I love this, because we were going.
Yes. It definitely is. Christmas movie.
It is definitely a Christmas
thing
movie.
I disagree with you with.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. He's been always disagreeing. I just feel it is. It's just because. it comes out, it gets promoted mostly always during Christmas because it's a Christmas movie. So
I think it's a Christmas movie. I think it gets promoted around this time because they love the debate.
That could be it, but I think that kind of makes it a Christmas movie.
What kind of Christmas movie comes out on July 21st?
Christmas in July.
Yeah. Do you know how many movies came out?
Christmas in July.
I was like, no.
Yes.
It's Christmas. It doesn't really matter like when it comes. I think it's more just the traditional when people tend to watch it. That's usually, you know, the reason why it becomes a Christmas movie or whatever. I don't know. I just feel it is. You know, anytime I watch it, it's during the holidays, mostly because I can't watch that Hallmark shit. So I got to Die Hard.
Bahamba's over here.
Yeah, I'm a total Bahamba.
So Jen says, you guys should check out Hobo Hill House if you like ghosts and paranormal. Monica, same question. Where is Hobo Hill House? I would like to know. I never visited Centralia, and I always wanted to, and I heard they closed down the highway there now.
They did, and Centralia is not really haunted. That's not really a haunting. That's just a natural occurrence. It's a ghost town, but it's not anything paranormal.
Are there still people? I heard there were still like 4 or 6 people they're living still, there that refused to leave.
Yeah, there's still
fires underground.
Residences there. Yeah,
Carbondale might get to this point soon.
Yeah, you think so?
Those fires have been going forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not
nothing but mine.
Jefferson Hobo City, Missouri is where Hobo Hill House is. That's what Jared just told us.
Okay, well, Jared, I got to take a ride down there then one day.
All right.
I do. I would love to tour. Like, I don't do it that often, you know, getting in with the paranormal, but I would love to actually start exploring that a lot more.
Yeah,
you. I don't know if you would. You're like, it's just I can't bring my wife. She's too strong.
Yeah, I was gonna say like, a ghost would like try to possess me, and I'd be like fucking setting myself on fire with sage.
You ever do Gettysburg?
I have done Gettysburg.
I haven't been there since I was a kid.
Very sad. That's a really sad thing for
my
me.
Daughter wants to, she's gone down there a couple times with her mom. I asked her where she wants to go on vacation this year. She said Gettysburg.
Yeah. That's not far from us at all.
We're probably going to go again at some point.
Gets the feels and I think she likes it there.
Yeah. Well, it is nice. I mean, when it comes down to the history, I mean, that's what shaped us, man. It really did shape us as a nation. And I think it's really important that everybody gets to experience it. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're there for the paranormal or just there for the history,
place. Like the history part, but like just like being an empath that I am, it's just so, it's just sad. Like I get very emotional. I'm an emotional person. So I'm like, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're a little bit like me then.
Yeah.
Justin, you're not much of an empath.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm not. I feel stuff. I know, like, I could feel you, but I can feel energies and stuff. That's my thing. Like, I could always feel her anxiety, but I grew up, like, working in a medical field and all, and I've seen death and, you know.
Yeah.
You build up a wall on that shit. You really do, and you develop a really dark, sick sense of humor. And that's how you live the rest of your life, you know?
I think with me, it's like the problem is that like people look at like people like me and like they have the assumption that like, oh, these people are just being upset for attention. But it's like, it's a miserable gift to have to just feel emotions. Yeah. Like I could hardly have known someone and like they die and I'm crying. But it's just the fact that like I feel the grief of other people so strongly that it's just overwhelming. Yeah, and I'd rather release than hold it in because I used to hold it in so much and that's how mental breakdowns happen. So
I'm still very good at doing that whole holding it in thing.
Yeah. So you blow up, punch a hole in the wall, hit a mirror, I get in there.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. But all right, guys, it has been a fantastic night. And like I told Justin before, I'm sure we could have a lot of good conversations with y'all. Y'all seem like you're into a lot of the same stuff we're into. Yeah. So there's a lot of cool topics out there.
Hopefully
you got some good ideas for your own show too coming up.
Yeah, we do. We got some good ones coming up. Eyeopenersociety.onpodium.co. That's where you can find us. We got our video up, Behind the Eyes, if anybody wants to check that out. Starting new year, Elaine from Arcane Oracle is going to be coming in.
Yeah, we're excited about that
So one. If anybody's into the tarot cards, tarot reading, she's fantastic. And I got an idea concept for the new year with that. We got to do one more show. As a matter of fact, right about now, our latest episode should be released right now on its own. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the holidays right now, the commercialization of the holidays, and that was a Hannah show, so she took 90% of that. So, and then we're gonna have one more release at the end of this month, and that's gonna be on Christmas Day. We haven't really come up with an idea yet. I think it's just gonna be some general talk about the new year.
Mm-hmm. And then I got a good one planned for in January. It's kind of I'll give you guys a little hint. It's kind of about New Year resolutions, but there's a twist to it. Cool. So
ooh, I like it.
I don't even know this either.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I probably do. I sometimes forget, but I do know. Look out for our Behind the Eyes where we do the Statue of Limitations, because that's going to be fun. I like serious topics. I like conspiracy, but I also like to have some fun and humor and all.
I think I'm taking back my shit. I'm like, I don't have any.
Those are some of our ideas. But I'm going to come up with some great topics and start getting back into that metaphysical, paranormal and all, because I find that fascinating myself.
Yeah. Yeah, and even beyond ghosts, like we in our old episodes that we don't have out there anymore, we might start putting some back out soon. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But aside from just the ghost thing, like we touched on different paranormal creatures. You know, you got chupacabra.
Yes,
there's a lot of them.
Yes,
there's a lot of them that you can dive into.
Jersey Devil. Yeah, there's so much topics. You know what? Instead of doing a podcast, you guys are in the same state. Come by. I think your wife had said just sitting around a fire until we should just do that, man. Just get some drinks.
I got a pool.
Get the fire. Yeah, or come down here to the pool and we could sit and talk about this stuff. Because yeah, I love that. I really do.
That's kind of our idea too. Is this is supposed to feel like sitting around a campfire with a drink, just bullshit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, so, and it awesome. Did. It felt that way, and that's great. We appreciate being on your show.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, guys, you guys coming on. Seriously, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun with you guys. So everybody, make sure you guys check out the Eye Opener Society. You can find them on their On Podium website, which is the link is in all of your chats here. Make sure you click that link. Go check them out. They are on most of your major audio platforms. And you got it. Just check them out for me. Just check them out for me. It's just I don't have anything else to say other than that. Check them out.
Just fucking do it.
Just do it.
There you go.
Send
it's the that. Only thing Send that you it. Can do. We hope you guys enjoyed the night. Thank you all for hanging out with us tonight. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it. Stay tuned because we are going to be doing something for Christmas. We are going to get together on Christmas Eve ourselves. It's going to be the whole Nonsense and Deep Thoughts crew. So we hope you guys join us for that. Get yourselves ready to be merry and fucking bright.
All right.
Hopefully we'll see you all next week.
Fantastic. Later. Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you.
And we say bye-bye.
All right, y'all. It's the Nonsense and Deep Thoughts Podcast.